بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ومن يطيع الله ورسوله ويخشى الله ويتقيه فأولئك هم الفائزون. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل أمة دخل الجنة إلا أبى. قال يا رسول الله: من أبى؟ قال رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أتاني دخل الجنة ومن أساني فقد أبى، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين وشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Alhamdulillah, we are on part 16 in our program, The Wisdoms of Actions. And currently we are discussing that how laws are made, how laws are formulated, how rules and regulations come about, the sources of derivation. And we have mentioned that there are four sources of derivation: Quran, Sunnah, Ijma, and Qiyas. In previous Alhamdulillah lessons, we have discussed about Quran Kareem being the primary and the main source of the Sharia, and we have mentioned that in order for one to make tafsir, the mufassir has to have certain qualities. Then we have mentioned that in order for one to understand the Quranic ayats, which are two in nature, one very simple, and secondly those ayats which require elucidation, explanation and details. For the second one, we have stated we require four sources for tafsir of such ayats, which are complicated and complex in nature: the Quran itself. And we have explained to some detail that how Quran expounds itself, meaning one ayat explains another ayat. Then the ahadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explaining Quran Kareem. And then the statements of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. In lesson number 15, we have dealt with these three sources to activate tafsir of ayats. Alhamdulillah, now we start with the statements, the fourth source, the statements of the Tabi'een, Rahmatullah alayhim. Hafiz ibn Kasir, Rahmatullah alayhi, he is actually Hafiz Imaduddin. He states in his tafsir that if any Tabi'i related a tafsir from any Sahabi, then the ruling of the tafsir will be the same as the tafsir of a Sahabi. First of all, a Tabi'i is that person who saw, met, or sat in the majlis, a gathering of a Sahabi, companion of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the state of Iman, and passed away in the state of Iman. So when a Tabi'i makes a tafsir, explanation of an ayat, and he says that this tafsir was from a Sahabi, then Hafiz ibn Kasir rahmatullah alayhi says that it is as though the Sahabi himself is making an exposition, a tafsir, an interpretation, a meaning of the ayat. If the Tabi'i states his own opinion, then it will be seen if any other statement of another Tabi contradicts his or not. If there is another conflicting view, then this tafsir will not be used as a proof. Rather, for the tafsir of that ayat, the Arabic language, Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hadith of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and narration of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, and other Shari proofs will be used to make tafsir of that particular ayat. If, however, there is no difference between the tabi'in regarding a tafsir, then without doubt it will be regarded as a proof, and accepting it will be imperative upon the ummah. So we have got two scenarios concerning two situations, two cases regarding the opinion of the tabi'i, that means the follower of the sahabi, that if he makes a statement and which is not found amongst the sahaba, then it will be verified as per the Quranic language, Arabic obviously, and it will be judged against the sunnah and ahadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or it will be weighed against the narrations of the sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, or any other shari proof. And when it conforms to the Arabic language or the ahadith and sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the statement of the sahabi, then it will be regarded as a proof and it will be imperative, necessary for us to accept. Now the manner of tafsir, Allama Jalaluddin Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayhi states in his Kitab al-Itqan, if any person desires to make tafsir of Quran Majid, then he has to first seek a tafsir in the Quran Majid itself, because at times an ayat may be stated in brief in one place and then its explanation or definition is given at another juncture. This is exactly what we have explained in the first source, that one ayat explains another ayat, one part of Quran explains another part of Quran. At one place it may be concise and in another in detail. This we have explained in detail in program and lesson 15. Allama Ibn Jawzi Rahmatullah Alayhi has compiled such a kitab wherein he has listed all such subjects from the Quran Kareem where they are stated briefly in one ayat and then it is expounded, it detailed in another ayat. If a tafsir cannot be found in Quran itself, then one has to look at the Sunnah, because the Sunnah is the commentary of Quran and it expounds it. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi states that whatever instruction Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam issues is as if it has been understood from Quran directly. Because Allah Ta'ala says, indeed we have revealed to you, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Kitab with truth, so that you may adjudicate, judge amongst the people as Allah has shown you. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, I have been given the Quran and its equivalent, meaning the explanation of the Quran, meaning the equivalent, the elucidation of the Quran, meaning by the equivalent the details of the Quran, meaning that the Quran in its place, but to understand it Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the one who is going to propound it. If the tafsir cannot be found in the Sunnah, then one needs to the statement asar of the Sahaba. Because Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they are the most knowledgeable of the Quran. Why? Because they witnessed the context in which it was revealed. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the one who taught them. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is their teacher and guide. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is their tutor. and there are his students and disciples. And they fully understood Quran Kareem, and they practiced upon Quran Kareem with total sincerity. So that is why, when we cannot find an explanation in the Quran, by the Quran, then the next source is the Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And after that, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, because they witnessed Quran Kareem being revealed, they understood and knew the Arabic language, and they were spiritually guided and taught by Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is why it is imperative and obligatory upon any Muslim and every Muslim to honor and respect and love and defend Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, because they are the guardians and custodians of deen, and they are the link for us. They are the blessed link for us to Quran Kareem, to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what they have understood about Tawheed and Risalat and Deen and Akhirat and Malaika and the laws and Ahkam of Deen, no one was in a better position to understand than the Sahaba Ikram. If there appears to be any contradiction amongst the Sahaba regarding a tafsir, then if it is possible to extract a common meaning from all the views, then we will have to do so. And we have these examples, and there are scholars who are proficient in doing this. For example, when we talk of Sirat al-Mustaqim, where some aver it means Quran Majid, others say no, it refers to the path of the Anbiya. Others say no, this is the Sunnah, whilst others say this is the path of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Others say no, this is the path of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So from here, the common meaning of Sirat al-Mustaqim, the path of Hidayat, is adopted as being meant by Sirat al-Mustaqim. In this way, one is not negating any view by adopting the one common meaning, by taking the path of Hidayat, because the path of Hidayat will mean the path of Quran. Path of Hidayat will mean the path of the Anbiya. Path of Hidayat will mean the path of Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Path of Hidayat will mean the path of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Path of Hidayat will mean path of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Why? Because the testification and the validity of it has been given by none other than Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because he say, Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatul khulafai rashideen al mahdiyin min ba'di. That hold fast upon you is my sunnat and the sunnat of the khulafai rashideen. So the sunnat and the path of the khulafai rashideen will be the path of Hidayat, will be the Sirat al-Mustaqim. So by adopting a common denominator in interpretation, then one will be able to collaborate all the meanings and make one comprehensive meaning. If there is such a difference amongst the views of the Sahaba that one cannot extract a common meaning, then one will choose that meaning which can be backed by some other written proof. If no other proof can be found to substantiate any of the views, then the one to be adopted for is the one which has the strongest proof. For example, regarding the huruf muqatta'at, the broken letters. What are the huruf al-muqatta'at? Example, alif, lam, mim, noon, qaf, sad, alif, lam, ra. Now all these are referred to as the huruf al-muqatta'at, the broken letters. Now there are many views expressed by Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Now which one to adopt, which one to leave, which one to give preference? First of all, let us see some of those views so we can understand fully and comprehend the example. First of all, we have explained that when Sahabas have got differences of opinion, then the best cause and the best route is to find a common ground of collaborating and coordinating the views so that we have no contrary or contrary view. The second one is to give preference. Now concerning the broken letters, the huruf and muqatta'at, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who said that in every divine scripture there is some secret of Allah Jalla Majdahu therein. And in the Quran, the secret of Allah Ta'ala lies in the beginning of the surahs. In other words, we do not know the meaning of huruf and muqatta'at, hence this is a part of unclear things. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, what he's saying, that in every scripture of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are certain secrets. And the secrets of Allah in the Quran lie in the huruf and muqatta'at, which are in the beginning of the surahs. And this part and parcel of unclear things. Others have not included it in unclear things, and they have offered meanings for them. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala states that these are the names of Allah in syllable form. If anyone knows the compilation and formulation of these words and these names, then his du'as will be accepted by virtue of this. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala is saying one thing, Hazrat Ali is saying no, that these are the names of Allah in syllable form. And if a person knows the combination and the formation and formulation of these, then his du'as will be accepted by them. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked regarding the letters Alif Lam Ra, Ha Mim, and Noon. And he said these syllables make up the name of Allah Ar-Rahman. So he combined these huruf and muqatta'at and he made these sifat, the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that means Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala held the view that these huruf and muqatta'at, these broken letters, if they are combined in a systematic, methodological way, then they will formulate sifat, qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will formulate attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also reported from Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu that just as Allah ta'ala had taken oaths, in other words, he takes oaths in these letters. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath, wal asr, by the token of time, wal fajr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the time of fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the breaking of the dawn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in various places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses words. And for example, in Surah Teen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses words to take oaths. Now, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala who says that these letters are actually the oaths which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking. Allama Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi gives his opinion that from all the above views, the last one appears to be the most correct, since the proof given for this is the strongest. If there is a difference in the meaning of these words, then the one making tafsir must understand that there is no clarity in this. Nevertheless, whatever words which appear in Quran and Kareem, we bring iman in them. But none can claim certainty in any specific meaning. Now this obviously is going to be referring to the huruf and muqatta'at, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has also indicated that these are unclear, ambiguous, and there is no certainty in it. So we will have to bring iman in it. Now this was as far as the tafsir, and those who are entitled to make tafsir of Quran, and what are the sources of making tafsir, that is in brief, in retrospect, Quran, ayat explains another ayat, sunnah and hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains the Quran. Thirdly, the statements of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in explains Quran. And fourthly, the statements of the Tabi'een, the followers of the Sahaba who explained Quran Kareem. Now we must have heard in our discourses and lectures that there is something called Tafsir Bil Ra'i, which is self-opinionated Tafsir, which is detested, deplored, and also brings the displeasure of Allah, and which is not permissible. But what it is reported in the hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, if anyone comments on the Quran from his own self, then he is making a place for himself in the fire. It is reported in another narration that the person who comments on the Quran without having knowledge, then he is making a place in Jahannam. Now this should be understood very clearly, because there are there people out, they say, let alone knowing the Arabic language, as long as you got a translation in front of you, then you can express your opinion on the Quran. Then you can state your view on the Quran. Then you can say whatever you like on the Quran. Because the Quran is the Kitab of Allah, and we are the Ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is sufficient license for us to express our opinion, our view on the Quran Kareem. So yeah, it is clear the hadith in Tirmidhi, it is reported that the person who comments, makes an opinion on the Quran without having knowledge. And what was this knowledge? We have explained in lesson 15 that there are 15 types of knowledge. These days we have stated people know nothing about Quran Kareem. Not even know how to read it, recite it properly, do not have any proper tutor, or do not know the sciences behind it, but they comment. And what is the warning? Then he is making a place in Jahannam. And the hadith Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu states, if anyone comments on the Quran from his own self, then he is making a place for himself in the fire. It is reported from Jundub that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a person comments on the Quran of his own opinion, and even if he is correct, he has erred. That means a person comments on Quran and this is his own opinion. Even if he is correct, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying he has erred. What has happened in these days? That there are people who claim they are scholars. And then you will get politicians. Or then you will get people who are inclined towards communism, imperialism, capitalism, socialism, who are inclined towards the kuffar system of politics. Then they will keep this in their mind, and any ayat which they feel is a proof to their ideology, which is self-concocted in their brain and mind, then they will say, see, this ayat here supports socialism. See, that ayat, it supports communism. See, that ayat, it supports imperialism. See, that ayat, it supports capitalism. See, that ayat, it supports that you have to take over by force. See, that ayat, it supports that you have to utilize vicious methods to get government and political power. See, that ayat, it says that you have to get political authority, and then you must look at the social welfare. See, because they have got lenses which are jaundiced towards whatever their ideology is concerned, whatever philosophy is in their heart, whatever ideology is in them, they will use the Quranic ayat. And this is what is called self-opinionated, because they will forcefully, wrongly twist and turn the meaning and purport of an ayat to substantiate and prove their ideology. And in most cases, their ideology is self-concocted and is false. Mullah Ali Qari, it is stated from Ibn Sirin that this knowledge of Quran, tafsir, is part of deen. Thus see who you acquire this deen from. Now in every science, and this is what we cannot understand, in every science you have a man. لِكُلِّ فَنٍ رِجَال. For every science there is a man. Because you will not go to a person who's a quack. You will not go to a person who knows very little bit about medicine. You will not go to a butcher for a heart operation. You will not go to a dentist for an orthopedic operation. You will not go to a ophthalmologist for a kidney operation. So for every science we get here a man. You will not take one issue pertaining to the doctors and take it to the lawyers, or the matter of law, take it to the doctors. You will not take your car for repairs to the doctor or the lawyer. Meaning now we have got people who are special and they are experts in their field. And also, you will not go to a lawyer to learn about medicine, and you will not go to the doctor to learn about law. You will not go to the mechanic to learn about butchery and the art of slicing meat. So for every person there is in daily life, they are people who are experts. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الزِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That ask the people of knowledge when you do not know. So in every science, to this extent one can say that the kitchen has got the science. And most of the time the husband does not know what is happening in the kitchen. So you cannot ask the husband what to buy in the marketplace for the kitchen, that you ask the wife what to buy in the marketplace. So in the home itself, we have got people who are special in their own fields. But in deen, unfortunately, we take our information from the ignorant. In deen and shariat, we take our iman and akhirat and we place it in the hands of ignoramuses. In shariat and deen, unfortunately, we do not bother who we getting our information from. The person does not even look like a Muslim, let alone think like a Muslim, but we take our akhirat and put it in their hands. People these days speak so much of nonsense But we are prepared to go to them for knowledge of Sharia. People who do not study under a tutor, people who do not study at all, we unfortunately go to them for religious guidance. That is why, unfortunately, leadership is into the wrong places. And when leadership goes in the wrong places, that is why we have got the current results. Because those who are super highly unqualified in religious matters are becoming spokesmen in religion, in deen. That means those who got no qualification in deen are becoming our leaders and becoming those who are in the forefront. And this is the catastrophe of the age. And this, unfortunately, is the difficulty. Because we are not listening to the golden advices of the Salafus Salihin, the pious. Because Ibn Sirin Rahmatullah Alayhi said that this knowledge is part of deen, the knowledge of Quran Kareem. Thus see who you acquire the deen from. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Alayhi explains on commenting on opinion. He says tafsir by opinion is when one makes tafsir without having acquired the Arabic language and the specified Shari outlines with regard to making tafsir. So Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Alayhi says that the people who make self-opinionated tafsir, that means tafsir bil ra'y, they do not have Arabic language, and also whatever one intellect desires, one accepts. Whereas it may be such a thing which is not in conformity with written or rational proofs. Remember, everything that comes in the mind and the heart, it may look good, but it may be completely wrong and erroneous. And that is why the experts of deen, the scholars and the masters of deen, they will have to guide us and help us and aid us and tell us that this philosophy or ideology and this nazariyat, this concept is, although looking good, but in reality it is not good. Many a time a concept may be looking good, but in reality it is going against the basic fundamental philosophy and ideology of Sharia. Because we are not grounded well enough in the ideology of Sharia and the philosophy of Sharia, then every good-looking idea looks good to us. Meanwhile, we cannot rely on our akal, on our intelligence solely, because this Shariat, this deen, is not wholly and solely reliant on our brains, on our akal, or our comprehension of our heart, but it is the narration, nakal, which we have to rely upon. Or it may conform to the apparent, but it is based on rational reasoning. For example, very clearly and very famous, that Hazrat Ali Karamallahu Waju stated that if Shariat, if deen was based upon reason, then we should be making masa, passing our wet fingers on leather socks under, on the soles and not above. And we all know the rule of the masla, that we make masa on top and we do not make masa on the bottom, on the sole. But logically or rationally, it's supposed to be the other way around, that we're supposed to be making masa on the sole that we walk upon and tread upon, and not upon the instep or the metatarsals area. But Shariat is not based upon our rationality or our intellect or our logic. Shariat is based upon nakal and narration. Or a person may have taken into consideration some aspects of divinely inspired knowledge whilst omitting others. That's why those 15 sciences that we elucidated in detail in lesson 15. So the person who is making tafsir, he has to know all that 15 sciences, and at one given time, at any given time, all of those 15 sciences must be in front of him, and he must not be lacking in any one of them. That is why a person who is knowledgeable in few of the sciences, he may go into a wrong decision, because his knowledge will not be holistic, it will not be comprehensive, it will not be encompassing. And when a person's knowledge is not encompassing, and it is not holistic, and it is not perfect, then he is going to make imperfect decisions, and he is going to say and write the wrong things. So we should be very wary of tafsir bil-ra'y. The types of tafsir by opinion, Ibn Naqim states there are 5 types of tafsir by opinion. Tafsir bil-ra'y says there are 5 types. The first type is when tafsir is made without having acquired the necessary sciences required to be able to make tafsir, which we have been just explaining about. That lacking in one science of what we have been mentioning, that person is unfortunately going to make the wrong decision. And how unfortunately are those who say they are students in Islam, scholars in Islam, thinkers in Islam, philosophers in Islam, and they want to comment on Quran Kareem, whereas they are knowledge does not even pass 1 or 2 sciences, let alone 15. But unfortunately, arrogance leads to stupidity, and stupidity leads to imperfect knowledge. And when a person has got arrogance and stupidity, then the other overriding factor which comes is pride. And when pride comes into a person, then he will never ever move from a wrong decision or a wrong move or a wrong opinion. Unfortunately, the evil of pride has destroyed many a person. We see this daily, that a person does not want to admit that he can make a mistake, that he can err, that he can flaw. And because of the stubbornness, the person refuses to move from his position and say that no, I can never ever be wrong, and what I am saying is completely right. And the result is what? Misleading people, misguiding people, because of stubbornness and pride. The second type is when tafsir is made of those unclear matters, the meaning whereof is only known to Allah Ta'ala. For example, we have just mentioned in this lesson about huruf and muqatti'at. Now if a person says, no, I know the meaning of alif, lam, mim, and the person is adamant about it, that this is the meaning of alif, lam, mim, and he goes and writes on it and speaks about it and say, no, the meaning that I am explaining and propounding, that is the right meaning, that is the only meaning, that is when the difficulty arises. And when we look at the Quran Kareem, we have the ayats of mutashabihat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, talks of descending, and his hand, his shin, his face, his countenance. Now when people begin to delve in those ayats, and then they begin to give shape and size and organs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that becomes self-opinionated commentary of Quran Kareem, and that becomes misleading in nature. And so-called scholars of the past have been misled, and scholars of the present also have been misled when they delve into those issues where you should not be even thinking about going. The third type is when some deviant sect is proven in the tafsir. When one makes this deviant sect the principle and the Quran Majeed its subservient. This is exactly what I was trying to say about when you start taking ayats and misquoting them. You take the ayats and misplacing them. Ayats which were specific to one group, you start using it for other groups. Ayats which were specifically revealed for one sect, now you start generalizing about it. That is why it is essential to know the circumstances of revelation, and it is essential to know that where we can use this ayat and where we cannot use this ayat, and where this ayat is befitting to be used and where if we use it, it will be wrong to use. This will only come when the person is knowledgeable. The fourth type is to certify something as being from Allah Ta'ala without having sound proof to back the claim. Again, we have alluded to this, that people have got preconceived ideologies in their mind. Now, in order to substantiate their preconceived ideas, they will look into Quran Kareem. And that is why they will, instead of regarding the Quran Kareem as a book of Hidayat, they will start interpreting Quran Kareem as only a book of science and astronomy or zoology or biology or embryology. Yes, all that has been stated in Quran Kareem, but that is there for us to learn, for us to take heed. There is no one denying that, yes, mention of all these sciences or most of the sciences of medicine, of zoology and biology and embryology and of cosmology and about the stars and astronomy, all that has been mentioned concisely, but that is not the purpose of Quran Kareem. The purpose of Quran Kareem is to serve as a source of guidance. Because remember, ilm, we have not understood the true meaning of ilm. Because ilm will be that which is going to benefit us in this world, in the grave and in the akhirat. There is no one against the doctors or the scientists or the engineers. But remember that that is not the matlub ilm, that is not the sought ilm which Allah wants us to go. Yes, it is necessary, it is good, you must advance. There is no one saying that people must not become doctors and engineers and scientists. All that is in its place. And we say, yes, you must become doctors and become good ones and become experts engineers and scientists, etc., and tradesmen and craftsmen. But that is not the real ilm. The real ilm is also not malumat, because unfortunately we have confused ilm with malumat. Malumat is information, that what is the blood count or the body, how much blood the person has got in the blood in the body, and how many red cells or how many white cells there are in the body, and how many arteries are there, and what is the length of the intestines, and what is the sperm count of this and that. All that is not the ilm which is going to take us to Hidayat. The ilm is Noor, and Noor will has to take us to Amal, action. That is the bottom line. So how high and wide was the Ark of Noor alayhi salam? That is data, that is information, that is malumat, that is not ilm. Ilm is when that ilm is going to be al-ilmu nurun, that knowledge is celestial light which is going to guide us towards success in this world, in the grave and in the akhirah. That knowledge which is going to tell us how to get proximity to Allah, that is the real knowledge, and that is the knowledge which every person, whether the person is the doctoral or a scientist, that person, he has to learn this knowledge. Why? Because that knowledge is going to benefit that person. So the knowledge that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to learn is how we can gain proximity, how we can gain nearness to Him, how we can get His pleasure, how we can go away from His displeasure. So all this knowledge that of medicine, of science, of agriculture, this, if it takes us and makes us better Muslims, then that is good. But if it takes us and makes us neglectful of the real knowledge, then that ilm is not beneficial. That is why when we drink zamzam, why do we make this dua that Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafiya, that Ya Allah, I ask of you beneficial knowledge, knowledge that is going to help in gaining the pleasure of Allah. Because why have we come, why Allah has sent us, why we are on the surface of on the earth? We are on the surface of the earth basically not to become doctors or lawyers or engineers or scientists. That is to earn halal risk, to get sawab. But our purpose is, as stated in Quran Kareem, لِيَعْبَدُوا أَيْ لِتَعْرَفُوا, to worship Allah, to make ibadat of Allah. And ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only salah. We think ibadat is only salat, or we think ibadat is salat and zakat. But Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has given 10 categories of salah, of ibadat, stating that salat comprises of, that ibadat at least comprises of salat, of zakat, of hajj, of fasting, and salat comprises of zikr, tilawat of Quran, enjoining what is good, forbidding what is evil, dawat. Salat comprises of mamlat, ma'asharat. Salat comprises of earning and spending and social interaction. So salat is not, that ibadat is not only what we have thought, that if you go to the masjid, then you are a good person. Yes, that is part and parcel of a good person, of a good Muslim. But we have not put stress on transaction, buying and selling, staying away from interest, fulfilling our pledges, fulfilling our promises, speaking of truth, running away from lies and deception, not making false promises. Deception is not part of a Muslim's life. And also that we eat halal. Because if you do not eat halal and drink halal, if you do not have halal earning, then you cannot even function properly, because that haram food that goes in the system will destroy the mental fabric of a person, and it will destroy the morality of the person, it will destroy the fiber of that person, it will destroy how that person thinks. So yeah, I have diverted a little bit, but to stress upon that Allah Ta'ala has given us Quran, the message, so we should not indulge in self-opinionated tafsir, and we should be knowing that what is ilm and what is pure ilm, and what is matlub, what is sought out ilm, and what type of ilm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. The fifth type of tafsir, Bilrai, is to make tafsir subject to one's own whims and fancies, which I have explained in some detail that we should know very clearly that we should be following the system provided to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we cannot make Quran a plaything. Unfortunately, in many places of the world these days, that people nowadays regard Quran that anybody can pick it up and translate it. Anybody can pick it up and commentate on it. Anybody, that is why we have now, unfortunately, that those who don't even look like Muslims, who have got Muslim names, they start commentating on Quran. And they want to go express their opinion about Quran al-Karim. And they get very upset and uptight that why the ulama ikram, why they object? Because the Quran is not their property. Yes, definitely there is no priesthood in Islam. But there is something called reliable expertism in Islam. Just as in every science you have got experts. Similarly, that as far as Quran is concerned, we have got expert people. That is why the ulama expressing this, that the Quran al-Karim is not that everybody can now comment on it. Just like that every person cannot be a judge or a magistrate or a barrister or a lawyer or a doctor or a specialist, so as the Quran also, that anybody and everybody is not entitled, because I'm a Muslim and I'm a reciter of Quran, therefore I have got full authority to comment on Quran. Unfortunately, especially the youth, that when the ulama ikram explain to them that see this Quran, you cannot just pick it up and comment on it how you want it. And in order to comment on it, you have to have the knowledge of sciences. And these sciences I have elucidated in detail. Only a rational person, when he understands that for every specialized science you have to be qualified. A doctor just does not become a doctor by just studying books, but he has tutors. A doctor does not become a doctor by just only studying chemistry, but he has to have got many other sciences, anatomy and all, so many other sciences he passes through 6-7 years, then he is entitled to classify or is given the graduateship of doctor. But because we have regarded this Sharia as something light, and we have taken for granted the deen of Islam, we allow anybody and everybody to comment on Quran al-Karim. And this is detrimental, because everybody and anybody is not allowed to commentate on the Quran al-Karim. And let alone the Quran, this also the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why that if you have to read the Quran translation, or if you have to read the translation of the ahadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then every time you must have a alim as your friend, as your companion. Because if you do not understand, then you are putting your iman at stake. And if you say the wrong thing, it may tantamount to blasphemy and kufr. So you have to, if you're reading Quran al-Karim, even the translation that we have made, Quran Made Easy, which has got adequate expositions and explanations, and if you look at the tafsir that we have translated, Illuminating Discourses of Quran in 10 volumes stretching over 5,500 pages, there too, even when you read, and if you do not understand, immediately you must have a backup, a alim who is pious, righteous, knowledgeable, so that he can guide you and aid you and support you if you have any doubt. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in Quran al-Karim that la rayba fi, there is no doubt in it, It means in the Quran itself per se there is no doubt. But people, because of their weakness of Iman and because of their lack of knowledge and imperfect knowledge, they unfortunately say the wrong thing and they make doubts and they create doubts in their minds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand this deen, and we will continue inshallah with the lesson 17 about the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, its importance and significance, and how it is also a source of derivation of law for us Muslims. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.